Hello, everyone. This is your host, Gemma Putty, bringing health and wellness conversations from North Idaho and across this region. I'm so excited to chat with entrepreneurs, creatives, and believers as we journey together to connect more deeply to ourselves, our earth, and our communities. Cheers to shining bright and supporting local. Hello, everyone. Today, I'm talking with Matt and Crystal of Mac Bread. I vividly remember first discovering their bread at the Kootenai Farmers Market because it's these delicious, crunchy sourdough bowls. And when I first started buying it, the lines were super short and I could hop in and like buy as much bread as I wanted to. And then progressively throughout the season, people discovered you. Yay. But the lines got longer and longer and longer, and then the bread was selling out. So I love those stories because everyone has realized what amazing bread they have. And I love the fact that it's sourdough too, because bread can be so demonized on so many levels. So today I get to talk to the two of them about the art of bread making and just the joys of sourdough specifically. So thank you, Matt and Crystal, for joining me today.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
My pleasure. So you started in 2018, is that right?
We did, so. Yep. This is going to be our fourth farmer's market season coming up, crazy, which is hard to believe. Time flies while you're having fun.
I'm working hard.
We're really busy.
So will you tell us a little bit about your story to even getting into bread making and then starting the farmer's market and just creating Mac bread in general?
Yeah, I feel like the concept was a little bit twofold. So for me, I have always kind of had this dream of opening up kind of a brick and mortar space, a deli type environment, casual kind of order at the counter, sandwiches, really great food. And so that has been something that has been probably a dream of mine since college. And then with Matt, I feel like we've talked about like, okay, starting a sandwich shop type deli, and he had become really interested in making bread, and it just kind of evolved in like bread being the platform, or even like I would say like the launch pad of us kind of starting to dip our toes into, you know, potentially like opening up this space, because it can be, I think, really overwhelming.
We both thought that would be very cool. Like, we could see the end result of, you know, like working in a little cafes type spot or something like that, but kind of overwhelming, looking at all of the things that you had to do to get there. You know, neither one of us, we had like worked in restaurants, but we're not like super, you know, knowledgeable how to run a restaurant or how to even run a business. So the bread just started because it was like, okay, you know, we'll have bread. You need bread for sandwiches and stuff like that. So it was just something that seemed so simple. And then we kind of used that to kind of grow, and kind of with the end goal of someday being, you know, knowledgeable at how to run a business, and then also, you know, some idea of the restaurant industry and all that sort of good stuff.
So, how did you start with the bread piece? Like, how you whittled it down to like, okay, step one, which I totally get it. Like we were saying before we started this like podcast, step one, just start doing it and figuring it out. How did you settle on bread, and then specifically sourdough?
I think it was bread because it was sandwiches. And then also, like Crystal mentioned, I had been baking just a little on the side, and through my brother got into it, and some of my friends got into it. And so something that I was trying out, I chose sourdough in particular just because I thought initially it was the challenge of it, you know, just as we were baking and stuff and trying different breads. And how we chose to do pretty much exclusively sourdough first was just the way it tasted, I think. And with being sourdough, and, you know, a lot of times, you know, your sourdough is, you know, especially with like a slow fermentation, can kind of eke out a lot of flavors that you wouldn't normally get with like a really quick bread that's made with, you know, commercial yeast and stuff. So that's how it kind of got started. And, you know, it was definitely a process of like trying and failing. And I think kind of became like an addiction in that, so in some ways, just because it was like, okay, we can tweak this one little thing, or like, oh, wouldn't it be cool if we added this to the bread or something like that. And then, yeah, it just kind of went from there.
So when did you start that? Like, how long do you mess around with bread before you're like, all right, we're ready. Let's like get commercial. Let's take this to a farmer's market. Let's do mass scale.
I think I was probably baking just, you know, after work and stuff for maybe a year or two, maybe 2 years.
I feel like it was longer, like 2 to 3 years, I think. Yeah. Because it was really fun kind of seeing like Matt get really excited and interested and really involved in the process. And he's someone who just researches anything and everything. I honestly like envy just our dog. That's Lucy. UPS is here. But you know, I'm always really impressed and inspired by the way that Matt is able to like look at a project and kind of dissect it and really like just jump in 100%. And so I feel like it was more, at least 2 years.
I think so. Yeah. And it was, like I said, it was, you know, we were both working at the time. And so it was coming home from work and spending, you know, 4 or 5 hours with the dough and then waking up before the next day. And it was just kind of like very much, even at that point, a labor of love and just kind of in the back of our mind, kind of like, okay, how do we free up more time to like actually devote, you know, maybe the reason why the bread isn't exactly coming out how I want it. Maybe it's because I'm not devoting enough time. You know, I have this like work thing that I have to do during the day. Like, what if I could devote more time to this? Like how, you know, what could we do with that? And so, yeah, so that, I think that was definitely a part of it too.
It was really fun. Just like we would have friends over and we would, you know, host like wine and cheese nights and we'd like casually integrate the bread and, you know, and of course, yeah. And then it was like, okay, are we biased? Are friends just being polite? And I remember there was one Thanksgiving when we were in Seattle, we went to like a Friendsgiving event and Matt baked a bunch of bread and we just kind of didn't say anything. And I remember people were commenting on it. And that was like, it was just really exciting to see, you know what I mean? It was kind of exciting almost to have that like blind taste test, if you will.
I'm glad you like the cheese, but what do you think about the bread?
come on.
Focus more on the bread. You're not talking about the bread enough. Yeah.
I love it.
It is. It's a leap, you know? It's a leap to go from doing something, I'm sure, as like a hobby to kind of putting yourself out there, right? Like you're putting it's an art and you know, in the same way that people look to, you know, put out their own music or put out their own paintings or anything like that. There's kind of a level, I'm sure, of like vulnerability that comes with that too. So
no, I understand that on many levels for sure. I'm curious, are you from North Idaho? And what were your jobs before? I'm just fascinated. Like where did this all start before you dove into Mac?
So I was born in Spokane a while ago, and then I came back to go to college in Spokane. And then, you know, during when I was living there, Coeur d'Alene was always like escape on a sunny weekend and, you know, go out to the restaurants here, spend the day at the lake. And then Crystal and I met we were both teaching English in South Korea, actually. And when we got back, we both finished around the same time. I convinced her to move to Seattle. Or to give Seattle a try, and then eventually Seattle convinced her I think we stayed there for maybe five years. Yeah, but Coeur d'Alene was kind of always in the back of our mind. We have some family here, so we would still come out, you know, in the summer, that same thing, and so it was kind of in the back of our mind of like, if the city is getting a little crazy, you know, like there's always that kind of, Coeur d'Alene was always the escape. And so.
It's such a beautiful place
too.
I mean, I think Matt mentioned this, but you know, his family is here. He has a lot of family here and we didn't have any family in Seattle. And it was just kind of fun for us to be able to kind of envision our life here. And it's such a special, beautiful, wonderful place. And so we've been here. 3 years, that's Jamie. We've got Lucy weighing in and now Jamie.
No, that's interesting though, because I mean, I don't know if I said this already, but I'm originally from England and I just keep getting progressively like further and further west. I met my husband in Salt Lake and I was there for him and I were there for a decade, you know, doing the city thing. When you're a little younger too, it's like more glamorous and you've got time to just be out and having drinks and stuff, right?
And then
you start thinking about like the next chapter of life. And my husband's from Coeur d'Alene too. So it was, we'd been coming up here and visiting and suddenly you're like, wait a second, I don't actually want to leave. And then maybe if we have a kid at some point, like, where do I want to raise them? And where's my family? And where's less traffic? And so I've been up here 4 years too. And it's
nice.
It feels like home. And then you do it. And it's like, perfect, right?
Definitely, yeah.
I love that.
It was very, very easy to get pulled into the community here for sure. Yeah. From, you know, very, very early on, which was... big reason why we're so happy living here.
Yeah, and that's such a special part of this area too, is just, I think because it is, you know, a smaller area, like a smaller town compared to like a bigger city, there is this incredible community of support. And, you know, you meet other like-minded businesses and other people with similar dreams, and being able to just kind of like work together to lift each other up and to support each other. You know, even you saying like, oh, weren't you at the Poppy James event on, you know, on Sunday? And it's just, I kind of love that close-knit, you know, feel. So
Well, and I think there's still like so much change that we get to be part of. Like, I think in cities there is, but you can get even more overwhelmed with like, there's already some bread and there's already 100%. Tons of this. Whereas here, I mean, I'm all for it. Like, I want the French style, like, bakery. Come in, buy a loaf of bread, sit, have a coffee in the sun or whatever, right? And yeah, I think that there's still so many opportunities for that here. So
absolutely. Definitely agree.
So where do you make your bread? And what is a typical day in the bakery like for you guys? Like, I have no idea. And how big is your team? Because I see like four of you, but I'm like... For making this bread over and over and over again?
Yeah. Well, in the summer, yes. So we're lucky enough to have our own production space now, which is out in Rathdrum, actually. It's not we don't have a brick and mortar or anything or any place to sell it, but we do have our own space that, you know, we have our own equipment and all of that sort of stuff. In that, we've been there, I think this is our second year of being there. Mm-hmm. Before doing bread, you are actually able to just do it out of your house.
Okay.
Under some cottage food laws. So you could do it out of your house, and a farmer's market is a great way of, you know, a great avenue to sell that and everything, which was another thing of us just starting with bread, is because there were those opportunities. You know, we didn't have to do everything all at once. We could literally just apply for a few inexpensive or free licenses and produce out of, you know, bake a couple of loaves out of our house and show up, and some people, you know, wanted to buy them. Then now all of a sudden we're a bread business. You know, it was like this very, very low barriers of entry. But anyway, so it started off just me and Crystal. Crystal does have a full-time job and is also a full-time mom. So since
you're a full-time dad.
Yeah, so Crystal was helping out, you know, so it was me and her to start. We've had various family members that will come, you know, anytime that they come and visit us, they'll be in the bakery helping out. Right now, my brother moved up in the middle of the farmer's market season last year. So he's working with us full time. Right now, it's just down to me and him. We're kind of in our slower season.
Right.
Yeah. But another thing that he brings to the table is he moved up here from Phoenix, which is where we did a bunch of our growing up. And he has a big restaurant background. So kind of like, as we kind of start piecing everything together, you know, it's he's in the bakery with us, and he definitely brings a lot of knowledge a lot of experience and stuff. So, yeah, so that's very fun too. So, but yeah, our team grows to, there'll probably be like three or four of us, and probably, you know, Crystal and stuff too. So probably four or five, but in the market season, which starts in May, and then, yeah, it's just a lot of days of shaping different doughs. And, you know, it's a lot of, the farmers markets are great, but there's a lot of running around, and, you know, the days definitely fill up quickly. So
what time does the day start? Like, how early? And are you making bread daily? Or do you kind of prep? Like, do you do a bunch on like I don't know, earlier in the week and it gets you through the week? How does that work?
So with the sourdough that we do, we try to slow everything down, which is, you know, there's a lot of health aspects that people talk about, and then also it's kind of more complex flavor and everything. So everything for us spends at least one night in the refrigerator. So like kind of working back from, so if we have a Saturday market, we're baking everything day of before the market. And so that is the earliest of the mornings for sure. And then the Friday would be mixing all the dough and getting everything ready. And then the Thursday might be like prepping for that mix. And we mix our starters and, you know, any of the mix-ins that we have to get together and stuff. And then working back from that, our other market is on Wednesday. So, you know, our days fill up quick. You know, it's kind of like a Monday through Saturday, and Sundays we try our hardest to get out of bed and go enjoy the sun. But sometimes
enjoy this beautiful area we live in.
Sometimes we have to force ourselves.
And Matt says early, but like, I mean, sometimes he'll leave at midnight. Sometimes it's one of those things where we don't have anything, like we don't have a Friday night anymore, because, you know, he'll try to go to bed at 6 p.m. and wake up and start at midnight or start at 1 a.m.
And then
you know, so that we can have fresh bread at the farmer's market by 9.
Mm-hmm. That is amazing. And you're so humble about it. This is what we're doing. And I love it. Will you talk about some of your recipes? Because you have so many different kinds of grains and so many different flavors. The one that like really blows my mind is the potato one, like how white that is. I just associate potatoes with starchy and I usually avoid them. And then your team convinced me to try it. And I'm like, this bread is a staple.
It's so That's good. Awesome. That's very cool. Yeah, I feel like, I mean, we started off with, well, the first market we brought 3 different loaves to, and they're all kind of like just the country loaves, or like the French style, maybe like San Francisco style country loaves. And that was all basically more or less the same dough. So for, you know, one of the ones we might use a little bit more whole wheat to get that flavor. The second bread that we brought had sesame seeds in it. And then the third one was the potato. And yeah, so it's easy to conceptualize because for us, it's kind of like, it's all gonna kind of, the process is the same, but we can kind of like, after we feel like we have a dough ready, that we can feel like play around with it, add some stuff. So yeah, the potato, we took away a lot of whole grain. So the starter we use is whole grain, but the rest of the flour is sifted. And then, added potatoes, which, you know, kind of focuses more on the potato-y flavor too. And, you know, it's definitely a lighter loaf. So, and then we kind of go from there. We have a few, I would say, like, not master doughs, but we have a few, like, so we'll have like a rye dough, and then we can do rye things with that. Or we started doing baguettes last year, and that's kind of a separate dough. And then once we have that, we can do things, you know, like ciabattas or even bagels. We've started experimenting with bagels now, and it's kind of a similar dough. So it keeps things interesting for us, honestly, too. I feel like sometimes we have way too many, you know, way too many options and way too, you know, it's like kind of want to simplify it. But especially in the summer, you know, we're in the bakery a lot, and it's helpful for us to mix it up a little bit, be thinking about what else we can do and stuff like that.
I love that. Well, and you think, I mean, just bread around the world is a staple, period, right? It's been around forever and ever and ever. So having like the cultural, just the historic, there's so many different kinds of bread that I'm kind of the same too, where I'm like, I get bored. Like, what else is there? So what inspires you? For me, I know I love the New York Times, Great British Bake Off. I don't know if you're a fan, but like, there's things like that. When I'm like, okay, I'm cooking healthy meals for my family or whatever, like these are my go-to inspirations for flavors. Do you have go-tos, or are you kind of just, what's your inspiration?
Yeah, I think kind of, definitely along the line you're going with that too, of like, you know, just all of the traditions from all over the place. The baking community is very, very open, and there's a lot of shared knowledge. And I think the thing is, you know, someone will tell you exactly their process because they know that at the end of the day, it's going to be a lot easier for you to just buy the loaf from them than to go home and start your 12-hour starter and then wake up at 2 a.m. and then get the, you know, I mean, we're definitely inspired by the other bakeries and restaurants, you know, that are being creative, honestly doing what they want to do. And you can see that.
Something I was just going to add is just, I think Matt and I have been really lucky to be able to have traveled a lot together. And I think you mentioned earlier, you know, we met teaching abroad in South Korea. So we kind of met with this, where we both have this wanderlust. And so anytime that we go to any city, whether it's here, whether it's a 2-hour drive away or we're, you know, taking a plane somewhere, we always kind of like to eat and drink our way through the city, right? Like that's such a fun, exciting part of experiencing a new area. So I feel like we get a lot of inspiration. We go to these different bakeries, these different delis, even just different food spots. And you can't help but just be inspired and excited
right.
kind of take that in and, you know, take that back. Right. Like,
totally. Yeah.
So I think that there's a lot there.
Yeah.
Too.
Like going, you know, going to some place and you try this bread and you're like, oh my gosh, why didn't I think of that? And then coming back and like trying to, you know, figure out how to do it and make that a part of what we do and everything. And yeah, it's never end. I think that that'll keep us busy for
infinite
a long
inspiration.
Time.
Inspiration.
Yeah.
So can you have a favorite bread, period, like with all your travels? And is there like your go-to?
It's so hard to choose, but I do have a favorite bread. So because people will ask us this at the market all the time. My favorite is probably our wild sesame. And I love the flavor of it. I think got a little bit of a unique flavor to it, but also there's a little bit of like a sentimental story behind it, and that the wild sesame, we use two types of sesame and we use a Korean sesame. And so again, that's where Matt and I met, and it has this kind of like nostalgic flavor, and it's just kind of part of our story. So on both sides, one, because I love the flavor of it, but also because we met.
Yeah.
That's very sweet.
Yeah.
I'm
sorry. So yours is the sesame too, Matt?
You should have gone first.
No, really. Do you have a different one, though?
Well, I kind of talked about like how one of the loaves we make is that we call the country blonde is just flour, water, salt, and one of the ones that we were doing originally. And to me, that's so simple. You know, there's nothing, it's not hiding behind, you know, some deliciousness in there or something like that. So that I think gets the most attention in the bakery. You know, everyone's always kind of like, if the country blonde dough is doing well, then we can assume everything else is doing well. And it gets the most tweaking, you know, and we'll tweak this bread and then that will trickle down into all the other breads. So, I mean, I think we'll always make that one.
The classic. I feel like if someone has never tried our bread before, don't you always recommend the country blonde? Just because
versatile. Too. Yeah. Yeah. Basically most of our other breads are the country blonde with some.
Here or there. Yeah. So is bread a staple in your house or do you get sick of it?
Crystal and I were just talking about this because I feel like we do make a lot of loaves, but there's so many times where, you know, I'll come home and Crystal's like, hey, did you grab any bread? And I'll be like, oh,
I forgot.
So I feel like we do eat a lot, but maybe not as much as we want to, honestly.
Because we're all just buying it so fast.
It is definitely a staple. I mean, one thing that I've started doing, because I will ask Matt, like, hey, can you bring me like a loaf home from the days of baking? And sometimes we can, and sometimes it's just a crazy day. So I've started slicing it and freezing it, and it actually like that works really well.
We always have some emergency bread in the freezer.
Yeah, I like that. I agree. You need that. Sometimes there's like I'm like, I just need a piece of toast right now. So.
Yeah.
That's funny. Health benefits. So gluten, sourdough, how do you, I'm sure you probably hear, so sourdough is healthy bread, right? Or like, how are people asking you it? And how do you address, what are the health benefits of sourdough, I guess is what I'm getting at.
Yeah, it's definitely, to your point, it's definitely a question we get a lot at the farmer's market. And like, we always want to be very transparent and just make sure that we're really being genuine in how we respond to this. Because at the end of the day, there are kind of different, I think everyone has kind of like a different, not perception, but just everyone kind of processes different things in their body differently. So we certainly don't want to make any claims. But for us, you know, we just talk about the fermentation process first and foremost, and how it obviously with anything fermented, it breaks down maybe some of those harsher ingredients. And so a lot of people will actually tell us, well, I'm able to digest this a lot easier, or I'm gluten sensitive, but I can eat sourdough. And so again, we don't promise you like, oh, well, if you buy our bread, you know, and you have a gluten sensitivity, you'll be fine. But at the same time, like, you know, beyond just the flavor and the taste, we obviously all of our loaves have that naturally fermented sourdough starter. And so we just kind of let people be the judge for themselves.
Yeah. I think that's the coolest thing is someone coming back, you know, after talking with us and saying like, hey, that was great. And then also I don't normally eat bread and, you know, that was great. I had, you know, the sandwich that I haven't had in a while or something like that. It's just cool, you know, cause it's cool to have kind of that feedback of just, you know, we choose to do something a certain way and there's a lot of time, you know, it sometimes feels like a very significant choice, you know, especially with those, you know, late nights and early mornings and everything. But it's so cool to get that feedback of someone who appreciates that kind of on multiple levels and everything. So.
Yeah, no, I love that. And I think that's so key with everything, right? People try to come to me and like, what should I eat? And I'm like, what does your body respond well to? You're the one to listen to your gut and your skin. What's your skin telling you after you eat this? And fermented everything helps with that for sure, right? And everything too is in moderation. are you living off of more than just bread? Well, that's part of the problem or the benefit or whatever it is.
Right.
Yeah. But that's kind of a good segue even into life balance with you're just, you know, saying you guys work a lot, like you're entrepreneurs, your new parents. How old is Jamie?
Jamie just turned 8 months on April 12th. She was born August 12th, which is crazy to me because I felt like I was pregnant forever. And these first months with her, you know, the fact that she's going to be one in August is just like, it blows my mind. So they say time is a thief. I'm like, oh, I think I get that now.
Right. And it feels like my little boy's, I think I said 20 months and I feel like I was there yesterday and I feel so cliche. I'm like, I'm pretty sure my parents told me this, right? And I'm like, yeah, whatever. And now that you have your own kid, you're like, oh, don't get any bigger.
I know. Yeah. We're having a lot of fun with her right now just because I feel like she's really starting to like have her little personality. And she's like giggling a lot. She's like crying right now. She's like, she's so happy. I know. But it is. We definitely have a lot on our plate, and I think we just kind of work together to figure out how to support each other, and obviously support Jamie. And it's just kind of problem solving and kind of being flexible and making things work, I think.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. It's just, you know, we know that we both want to spend as much time with Jamie as possible and, you know, to learn how to become parents and all of that sort of stuff. And an agreement from both of us that all this, we can pursue all this other stuff too. It's, you know, I was thinking about this morning, I was in the bakery and just all that took, you know, it was an early morning because Crystal had to go online at 7:00. So I had to try to get a lot of that done. So, you know, it's leaving Crystal with the baby early in the morning and having her take care of the baby. And then my mom was over to help watch the baby once Crystal had to go online. And then my brother stayed late at the bakery to, you know, to help finish up because I had to get back. And it's definitely all of us kind of deciding together that that this is still something that we want to do. So,
that saying like it takes a village like really rings true because even just like our family is helping us navigate it, which is so appreciated, obviously. Yeah, and we're just so grateful for the support.
Yeah, no, it solidifies what you love in life, right? You're like, okay, everything else can fall away. Like, let's focus on what's really important to us.
For sure.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I love that. So that being said, I mean, you've made so many changes to Mac, even just in the last couple of years, right? From like your options to, I mean, I could have bought bread every week all winter long and you've partnered with different local businesses. Yep. What's your vision for Mac moving forward? I mean, we're coming into another farmer's market season. What are you excited about? And what's kind of your vision for the next steps?
Yeah, I think a cool thing is that, you know, a lot of starting this, it was kind of the question of like, is this something that we want to do? And, you know, can we do it? Yeah. And then are we just going to continue to have fun from doing it? Is it going to continue to challenge us? Are we going to continue to feel like, you know, we have something that we're working towards, all of that sort of good stuff. And I think a cool thing is that those conversations that Crystal first had when she was mentioning like, hey, I think someday it would be very cool to have a cafe or a sandwich spot in particular. I think it's cool that that is, you know, we're only 3 years in, but that's still like the kind of the guiding light for us. And that's something that we honestly feel like we're getting close to. You know, I mentioned my brother coming up, you know, that's another step. And, you know, hiring our first employees, and now I feel like we can do that. And just all of those things, I still feel like that initial thing that we were going for, I still feel like that's something that we still really want to do.
Awesome.
And so, yeah, so that's the next step. And there probably is many steps, you know, to get there. But, you know, definitely, you know, I mentioned we have our own production space, definitely having our own, you know, kind of retail space and stuff like that. Definitely be big. And yeah.
And I think it's important. Sorry, she said thank you. I think it's important to mention too that, like, you know, we would not have even had the opportunity to even conceptualize or even like really think about this without the farmers market giving us a space and platform to grow this business, and just the amount of support we've had from not only, you know, the attendees of the farmers market every Saturday and Wednesday, but truly like the farmers market itself, right? Like they really have given us this opportunity to grow our business. And so I think we're very appreciative and grateful for that. We hope that that's something that we can continue to also grow and kind of figuring out what the evolution of that looks like in that respect too, because it is it's a very important part of our brand, right? Or our business, like, we would not be able to do what we do if it wasn't for the farmers market.
Yeah, amazing platform.
And the other, and obviously there's obviously a lot of other businesses that have come into your point, like that have really supported us too, which has just been amazing. But yeah, I think like we're gearing up for a busy season, and it's always just really re-energized. It's, you know, it's exciting and it's busy and it's hectic, and it just feels like we're like drinking out of a fire hose, but it's awesome.
I'm ready to go though. I'm ready. I'm ready for a busy season.
So is Jamie, apparently.
She's ready to go. So I guess that just leads us into, how do people find you? You know, moving into farmers market season, obviously you're at Kootenai County Farmers Market, which is Saturdays from 8 to 1 and the 9 to 1, right?
9 to 1 at the 9 to 1:30 actually, at Ferry and 95 in Hayden every Saturday. And then every Wednesday from 4 to 7 PM at 5th and Sherman downtown, which is, it's a lot of fun too. I'm so excited for the farmers market to start back up. It's such a good time. And then outside of that, we have been able to have our bread offered at some other local businesses. So Matt, you could probably talk through everything. I know Wednesdays we consistently deliver to Doma Coffee.
Yeah, I feel like we've tried everything in each of our off seasons. But now we do have whole loaves that we sell Wednesday at Doma Coffee. And also Culinary Stone, and then Thursday back at Culinary Stone, and then Migliori Olive Oil down on Sherman. So yeah, that's where you can find our bread until the farmers market starts. And then as far as connecting with us, we have an email list where people will, if they haven't seen the loaf that they like in a while, you know, they'll send us a message and ask for one of those to be, you know, delivered at Doma or one of those places. And then, yeah, just other social media, Instagram, stuff like that. And yeah, we're working on a website, but not quite there yet.
No, I get it, right? All the things. You're like, wait, we're making it, and now we have to like figure out all the other things. Like, oh,
I get it. It's all part of it.
So will you be at all of those places during the summer as well? Like at Killarney Stone, or will you still be delivering to those throughout the week, or is during farmers market season, you're specifically at the farmers market?
We will be at Doma. We've actually been at Doma since the, like, the first couple of months, I think, of when we first started. So
yeah, we've been there.
We've had bread there Wednesday mornings, I think,
for all 3 years. Yeah. They've been very supportive.
Yeah. And then I believe Culinary Stone will still be doing that. I think Migliori might be taking a break once the markets start, just because the markets are
right down for the
bread. Yeah, it's right outside of where she is. So, but yes, I believe those will still be in addition to the farmers markets and everything, of course.
Awesome. How exciting. So I like to end. I'll let you go really quick. Sorry, Jamie. So I like to end with just who are three people, businesses, whatever, that inspire you locally to live holistically, vibrantly, just kind of your best lives?
That's such a tough question, because I feel like truly there it is. It's a great question. There's so many businesses here that are inspiring, right? Like, I feel like we could spend a long time talking through. I think like there's certain businesses that we've seen them kind of grow from the farmers market model into a brick and mortar. So that's really inspiring to me, like looking at Bean and Pie, you know, is an example that comes to mind. Mountain Madness, they've really, you know, been able to do some incredible things. Lone Mountain Farms, which is a brewery out in Apple. And, you know, just being able to do that, I think, has been very inspiring, because it shows, like, you can progress to not only support the farmers markets, but also be able to potentially have, you know, your own kind of storefront, which I think is really exciting. And then, you know, outside of that, it's just people in the community doing really cool things. Like when we first moved here, when we first visited here, you know, we would always, when we come over from Seattle, seeing Matt's parents, we would be like, oh, we have to go to Syringa, or we have to go to Bluebird, because I think, you know, what Bill, Joe, and Autumn have done, just in terms, the food is delicious, the offerings are so unique and amazing, but also like just the style, the ambiance, like down to like the, you know, the cutlery, like it's just, the details, right? So I think that's very inspiring. Sorry, I think that was more than three.
No, that was fabulous. I loved it all. Yeah.
I think it was very cool for us too when we first moved here. All the people that we met that were kind of either around the same timeline as us, maybe had started the year before us, or started the year after us, or there was definitely a community of businesses that were established that, you know, lend us a helping hand and give us advice and introduce us to the people that we should be meeting. But there was also people that were kind of like in the trenches with us. And there was a lot of that shared knowledge of like, hey, you know, even some of the people that the pie shop, we both buy flour. And so, you know, we're sharing information of like, hey, did you talk to this guy? Yeah, Bean and Pie. And
has been amazing, and just seeing how they reach out to the community, Lucid Roots too, just the way that she's been able to, you know, grow her business and expand into Spokane, and just these incredible flavors and, you know, just unique offerings, like
and all doing kind of all having the same you know, kind of mindset of taking in the time and doing it right, and offering something unique to the community here, and
thoughtfulness, you know, behind it.
Yeah, the thoughtfulness, that's a great way of putting it, is taking the time to do things a certain way. I think it's cool.
Inspiring.
It's definitely inspiring.
Well, you guys are so inspiring. Like, I think you do it so well, and it's so professional and delicious, and your team is so lovely. Like, so
lovely.
I am just so excited for you, and I'm also really in benefit from your product. Like, who doesn't love a lovely loaf of bread, you know? I actually, it was kind of funny, I was going to tell you that my little boy, he teethed on it for a while, like your crusty, like he would just like gnaw on it, and I'm like, I'm pretty sure
that's good parenting advice, because we're just getting into that teething stage, and so
get rid of all the
take any and all tips.
Your own bread is perfect
and economical. Yes, that's true.
Yeah, no. So, well, thank you. Do you have any final thoughts or questions that I forgot to ask you?
I don't think so. We really appreciate this, and, you know, checking out your other episodes and stuff too. I think this is very cool, and there's a lot of, you know, it's just another way of highlighting all of the amazing stuff that all the amazing people that are doing cool stuff in our community. It's very connecting and very cool to see.
Well, it's so fun to hear your stories, right? I think knowing the stories behind I mean, we see so many great products, but like knowing that story and what makes tick and what keeps people going just, I feel like for me has connected our humanity. And I think especially last year, I needed that, which is probably why I'm like, I have to start this. Like, let's
It's true. It's so true. No, thank you. You know, thank you for having us, Gemma. This has been a lot of fun. And it really, I think, is the perfect way for us to launch into the busy season, because just talking about not just what we do, but why we do it is, you know, it's it's great to kind of just like take a step back and think about all these things, which I'm sure we, you know, we haven't thought in a while. So it's the perfect way to kind of kick off a busy and fun summer.
No, good, 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 good. And that was so fun. I got to meet the whole family. Yay.
Jamie was talking. Lucy was barking.
No, it was all great. That's how we do it. See you here soon. I mean, the farmer's market starts, it's in early May, right? The first
Mother's Day weekend. Yep. So. And then the Wednesday,
Yeah, it starts that following Wednesday there, so.
Yeah, it's coming up so fast.
That's off with a bang, yep.
Yeah, awesome.
Thanks for joining us all today. How fun to have the whole family involved. I'm truly inspired by stories of people following their passions step by step to share them with the world. Not because it's easy, but because they can wake up each day with excitement to create, explore, refine, and keep evolving into the next step of their vision and into a wiser version of themselves. And isn't that the ultimate goal of the human experience? To keep evolving into better, more aligned versions of ourselves and to support others in doing the same? I certainly believe it is. As I continue this journey of discovery and holistic living, I hope you join me as I get to know more awesome, inspiring people in this Inland West region. Please feel free to share, like, and let me know who you'd like to hear from in the future. Sending all the love, light, and vibrancy. Till next time.